The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again to a Came From Radio, this is your host Mark Torres speaking. With me in the studio I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to me.
Hello, fun seekers.
Son needs a mic.
And I have Herman Sinertia sitting across from us.
How you doing?
And standing over there, hopefully with some volume, would be Hassan Godwin. Say hi, Hassan. No, we don't hear Hassan.
Oh, well.
Wow, so it's like a...
I should stay home.
All right, try it now. Try it now.
Hello.
There we go.
I love when a plan comes together.
Darn it.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, which actually you can't hear us now, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GB website, we have the web camera, so you can actually see us on the webcam in 10-second intervals. We're waving hi.
Well, I've been told by people who listen that the 10-second thing is kind of creepy.
Really?
Because it's always like
we're like posing.
Yeah, and then after a few minutes, after the show's over, we're just gone.
It just poof.
Was that last picture of us like done, and then poof, where we just vanish out?
You see us, and then we're just gone.
Yeah, and that creeps.
What do we do this?
Well, they can't tell.
They can't
see you.
They don't know what you're doing.
They actually hold. Remember, one frame for 10 seconds. So actually, they didn't see you do anything right there. Anyway,
now that that's over, now that we covered that.
Yes.
Sorry.
And the phone number here is area code 61-888-811. So I'm going to go get the news while we get ourselves situated. So here we go. Get that.
Okay, he's going to get the news.
All right, good.
Where's he going? He's going
Mark
out there.
Mark with the news.
Yeah.
Take it away, Mark.
He's going to 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Is he upstairs? Where's the news?
I went upstairs.
Wait a minute.
If I actually ran fast enough.
Pulled it out of a time capsule.
Yeah. Actually, that's actually a good start to the news.
Hey,
time capsule. Yeah. The 1928 film Charlie Chaplin, The Circus, came out, was released recently.
1928.
I know what you're going to say.
It's Charlie Chaplin.
The
film's called Circus.
Yes.
Right? It's not.
Yes.
The film's not called Charlie Chaplin Circus.
No, the film is called Circus.
Okay,
Charlie
gotcha.
Chaplin.
I'm here. I'm hip.
I think it's a DVD. It was there's some footage about a documentary about the movie. And it shows somebody walking by the Chinese theater in Hollywood attending the 1928 premiere of the movie,
it's
holding
Hitler.
A cell phone.
Not only
you can't see the cell phone, Mark.
A
hand is covering the whole unit.
What?
It's not a cell phone.
Well, stop.
What is
stop,
that?
Stop debating it. Let's clarify what we've just said for a second. Okay.
It appears in this lost footage from 1928.
1928.
A female,
a woman time traveler.
Is walking exactly. That is the common theory.
The time traveler is so skilled to show up nowhere else in history, but happens to walk through the set of
Chinese,
a Charlie Chaplin.
Well, it wasn't a set. It was a camera outside the Hollywood theater.
The Hollywood theater.
For the premiere of the movie, so it was like behind the scene footage.
So she's out in the open, walking around with a cell phone. Who's she talking to?
I don't know.
Marty.
So
someone else must have a cell phone.
The person has their hand where a cell phone would be. It looks like they have something in their hand. But it's, 1928 footage, so it's very old and grainy.
Right.
And it appears.
You just see her hand.
That she's talking to herself, holding an object.
Couldn't be anything else.
Of course.
There were
could
no
be.
Satellites back in 1928.
They weren't.
Who is she talking to? Sunspots? What, I mean,
maybe it's a not. Maybe it's not a cell phone, but that's what it appears to be. Is what I'm saying.
Who's saying it's a cell phone though? Who's the?
That's the most common theory.
That's a common theory.
It was on the news.
That was on the news. It was a popular theory.
It was actually on the news. Okay. I saw it on the Today Show.
Right, the Today Show.
Of all things, okay. The guy's like, I think it's a time traveler, and the other two are looking at him. That was what he said.
Mark loves this time travel.
But he said, but he was. I was joking. But the guy's being semi sincere that he thinks it's a time travel. Right.
Okay. Yes, because they were
a sloppy time traveler. Right.
Yes.
Because
she could have been talking to the mothership. You guys don't know. Leave it alone.
the mothership, like right out in the open.
So that's when
I talk to the mothership when everybody can see me.
So they were throwing out theories on the Today Show. It was three hosts. And the female was like, well, maybe it's a trumpet, you know, that they used to hear in the old days. Or they were throwing out ideas, and this guy, and the third guy goes, I think it's a time traveler. It seems pretty obvious. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe he just said that.
It seems obvious.
On the air, like, wow.
2 minutes later, she got into a DeLorean, right? A few seconds later. And it just sped down the street, and everyone was like, men from Mars.
And Huey Lewis sang.
Yeah, Huey Lewis was driving the DeLorean.
So, yeah, it's possible that some type of
phone booth.
I heard that she was. I heard that she was added in.
Digitally added in. That's sure. A better theory than time traveler. What do you mean, sure?
Did you get anything in?
Sure. You shrug on digitally added in.
Thanks, Hassan.
But you're more prone to think it's a time traveler.
Why not?
Right. Okay. That's good. I like that. I like the time traveler. What was she up to?
some type of sneaky stuff. I guess.
You know what it was? America lost World War I and was about to lose World War II, but she was there and she stopped it from happening. She stopped the whole Nazi.
She had the watch that flashed green and yellow.
Yeah,
when the time
she was on the phone with a guy in Germany who was about to punch Hitler in the forehead in his painting class.
Guess what? And Buster Keaton was there with that funny hat from the Twilight Zone episode.
Exactly. Sure. Why not? But yeah, it was so. It's possibly
all right. Time traveler.
It's possibly time traveler may not have been digitally entered into a 1928 footage.
She was there to get a bootleg of circus so that she could sell. She got a camcorder shot of circus so she could sell it.
Yeah,
that's what it was. This is authentic bootleg.
Right off the screen.
You can see me in it, so that's how you know it's authentic.
That was Prohibition. It might have been a different kind of bootleg she was looking for.
Maybe she was on the sauce and they decided to take her cell phone into camcord circus and then walked out and realized it.
I'm drinking from my flask. The cop is coming. Let me put it to my ear.
Yeah, I'll put it in my ear. It's a cell phone.
I'm a time traveler. Yeah. I'm not drinking. I'm a time traveler. What are you talking about?
Yes. People are so gullible today.
As long as it's not liquor, lady.
Carry on.
It was 1928. They would have been the Edgar Kennedy cops. They would have started off with, say, what is that to your ear?
With high pants.
A lot of cops in the period would have asked for a sip.
Yeah. You'll be coming over here with that. I need a sip.
You might
I need a little taste of that.
You might
strictly for medicinal purposes, of course.
I've got a bit of the old fever, and I need a nip of the good stuff.
All right, let's talk about Superman again in the
okay,
news.
So now that we've spent an hour on that one news question,
well,
let's go.
That was worthy of...
Yeah,
definitely.
That was kind of insane. So speaking of Superman,
Mr. Segway,
Christopher Nolan, who's going to be the man behind the next Superman movie,
yippee.
Has a reveal.
No realistic Superman.
Yes, with his emo look with the hood and, you know.
A hood.
He's going to be floating around looking at
looking
Lois.
Looking like a Jedi. Yeah.
Creepy Lois. Yeah.
An urban Superman.
He's a
Superman.
Thug Superman.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan revealed three new tidbits about the new Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
First, it is going to be called The Dark Knight Rises. That's the official title.
Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. So it goes from Batman Begins to The Dark Knight Rises. Shouldn't it have been Batman Begins, The Dark Knight Rises, and
Batman
The Dark Knight?
Ends? Oh, I thought it would just be Batman Ends. And that's where I was going. But
never mind.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So yeah, it'll be called The Dark Knight Rises because I guess he's supposed to redeem himself.
Maybe he gets
movie.
A girlfriend. Go ahead. Keep going.
Number two. Number two. The Riddler. will not be the bad guy. Neither will Mr. Freeze. So, and those two guys are eliminated from all possibilities of which the bad guy is going to be. So that leaves.
Don't even count the possibilities.
Penguin and Catwoman.
Well, yeah, but he could go for an obscure again, like he did for the first one.
Like the Mummy.
Yeah.
No, King Tut.
Scarecrow
was in the first one.
Scarecrow in the first one.
I know. Okay.
So it'll be King Tut.
Yeah, the King Tut.
Oh, he was the college professor, right?
Yes.
And then he got hit on Egg.
Yeah,
and he became.
What about Egghead?
Oh, there's a price.
That's who it should be.
What about False Face?
Oh, yes, False Face. He was a master of disguise.
Yeah.
And in the episode where he first appeared, when he had all the credits, they put question mark as False Face.
What about Bookworm? What about Bookworm? I like Bookworm.
Yeah, Roddy McDowell as Bookworm.
The Mad Hatter.
The Siren.
Yeah, the Siren.
They could do Poison Ivy, even though they did her already in the.
Or the kid as Catwoman.
Oh, yeah.
Catwoman should be in it. They should get to Catwoman by now.
Right. Well, it's only. Well,
since
then
they blew up Rachel. he needs a love interest.
Or the lady gangster based on Ma Barker. I think it was Ma Parker.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I remember that when they were all hiding in the guns and the Batmobile was coming in. What's going to happen? Are they going to get shot? Is he not going to whip out his bulletproof bat shield?
Yeah, that you never see where he whips it out from. He's got a little pocket in his cape.
Yeah.
Oh, and we mustn't forget Louis the Lilac.
Louis the Lilac.
You made a surf.
That show was awesome.
Da-da-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. How come that's not on DVD yet?
Well, actually, that's a very good question. Yes, no follow-up question, but that's a separate news item. From what I understand, there's supposed to be some legal problems between the distributor and Warner Brothers. Because they don't own the distribution rights, so they're not able to make the.
That's too bad. This DVD market, you know, you could probably download all of them though.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you can you imagine you actually download the DVDs of the Batman series and drive around in that Batman car playing it all the time because it's what was it $50,000, $500,000 to make the authentic.
That's a step too far.
You wouldn't play the Batman music.
That's lost in the world of geek right there.
You're driving the car.
I don't want.
That's what you need a map to get back from
a new show on TV, Hollywood Treasures, and you got to see this guy. He made a Batmobile. It's a new show on Sci-Fi Channel.
So it actually might be the same guy because
it's Batman Forever or Batman.
Oh, that one
with the big fins.
Oh, with the racing car. That looks like the NASCAR Batmobile.
Right.
Crapmobile.
Out of all the cars, I would get the original 60s one. That's
the original 60s one, the one from the one from Batman with Michael Keaton.
That was a nice car.
That was a nice car. It actually held over to the next movie until they destroyed it, and then you never saw it again.
I remember a thing in Mad Magazine when they made a parody of the Batman Michael Keaton version. They're like, well, where's Robin? And they showed him that he was actually in the car in the front part steering the wheel because you couldn't drive it the way he was set up. He's sitting in the front holding on to the thing. That's where Robin is. He was in the front.
So they did a parody of that before, years before with Knight Rider, where they had the guy who does Kit's voice in the hood, under the hood in the engine, and he's got a microphone and a headset on talking to
Gene Michael, it's hot in here.
Yeah, Michael.
Michael, please let me out, Michael. I'm not really a car.
Wow. That just turned creepy.
Michael, you should really take a stress pill. Oops, wrong script.
Well, cars can't talk, Michael. Off.
Michael, you have no shoulders.
Isn't it ironic that a guy famous in the 80s for driving a car is a famous drunk in the new millennium? Isn't that fantastic?
Eating a hamburger.
He is strictly famous for. I mean, yeah, he's got the Baywatch thing. I'm always overlooking Baywatch, but he's strictly famous for being the premier driver of the 1980s. Right, right. You know, he took over for the Bowen Luke Duke, and he just took the ball and ran with it. And now he's a drunk. So he's a, you know,
you can't forget Star Crash.
He's a drunk driver. If they ever do another Knight Rider and put him in the guards, it's over.
Well, he's been working on that. He's been doing that for at least 10 years. He's been trying to get a new Knight Rider out with him in it in the movies with Glenn Larson.
Well, that TV show murdered it.
Driving drunk.
And they did a TV show a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And that's gone. That just vanished very quietly. Okay, which was terrible. And they were supposed to do a movie simultaneously, weren't they? Wasn't that the idea?
The idea was that the show was actually going to be a huge success and they were going to make a movie. But from what I understand, Glenn Larson was going to get David Hasselhoff to be in it. And it wasn't connected to the series at all. It just happened to be riding the Knight Rider popularity at the time.
Right.
Which was
so it had nothing to do. Yeah, but I knew the movie was separate.
Right.
But the movie was supposed to happen simultaneously with
because
the TV show.
World was supposed to go Knight Rider crazy. Is they went
well,
with
they used
Bionic
a Camaro. You know, they there was nothing special about the car. You know, the T-top was not a common car. It was out, but it was not common, so it was quite unique. It
had the look.
Yeah, it was sleek. It was the first of the brand new, primarily fiberglass cars.
Yeah. Hassan, what did it have in the front?
And I'm not done. And it had the little light sensor, and it talked, and it had all kinds of devices in it, and it could do all kinds of stuff that nobody had any clue could be done in
like
the 80s.
Like a GPS?
Yeah, you can't do that now. How are you going to have a special car? My car talks to me. You know? It's not
what is it saying?
It's saying drives a little slower, you idiot. You're going to be late for the show. That's basically what it said tonight. But it's not that impressive.
It had that little red light, right? That flew on.
Yeah. You know where that's copied from, right?
I thought the car should just go by your command instead of anything.
Yeah. It should have.
Exterminate.
Yeah. Also, wasn't there another Knight Rider series between the original and the remake that featured a whole team of Knight Riders where everyone had a different car, and at one point one of them got artificial intelligence got the wrong car. He said, "Good heavens, I'm a subcompact."
Yes, that was Teen Knight Rider. It had the British guy and the quote-unquote black guy voice.
It was like Jason the Real Warriors meets Knight Rider, or Pole Position meets Knight Rider.
I got to say, when was this?
It was
probably the time I went on that trip to outer space.
Yeah, you weren't here.
How long did that last?
It was around
mid-90s.
It was around 2000, because it actually passed when Knight Rider 2000 came out, so they actually had to change the story because they made a Knight Rider 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was in 99.
It lasted a couple of years. It lasted two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. It had Michael Knight's daughter in it. That was the main character. And despite the fact that the show got canceled, they actually brought back Michael Knight because that was the biggest mystery as to what happened to Michael Knight. They're trying to make a connection. I actually enjoyed that show. I was sitting there, and at the end, it actually tied everything together, and I was like, wow.
What happened to Michael Knight? He's eating a hamburger drunk somewhere. Drunk. That's what happened.
On the floor.
He faked his death, and that's what it was. Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, you keep putting the mythology of Michael Knight. It's, nobody cares.
We have a Mark from Long Beach. He wants to ask us a question.
He's been on other shows.
All righty, Mike. Hello. Mark. Hello, Mark. Hey. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you? I'm listening to you guys, and you guys are having a nice conversation about Knight Rider, Batman, and Team Knight Rider. And one of my favorite cars in Team Knight Rider was Dante, which was the Ford F-150.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, that was interesting. And yes, I think it was I forgot what kind of car it was, but the one that said, "Oh my God, I'm a subcompact." That was quite interesting. And what about the two motorcycles that became a car?
Yes, I was going to bring that up. You know, it was so weird. It was two motorcycles. They merged into a car. And then when needed, it was able to separate magically. It was the weirdest thing of the show.
And that, no offense to either of you, but that lasted 2 years. Huh?
I would personally love to make a Transformers and Knight Rider meet. You know what I mean?
Well, if you think about it, the newest Knight Rider actually was kind of like a Transformer because it did change it to
other cars.
That was the only thing it could do that the original Knight Rider couldn't do, was change into other cars.
Nightformers.
Yeah.
Nightformers. That was a
Night Informers.
Transriders. No, not that one.
Trans Riders. No, that's a different kind of show right there.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that. Nightformers is good.
Yeah, I like that one. You guys have a good night, and keep on listening.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Oh, great, thanks, Mark, for the call. I don't know why I keep on wanting to call him
Mark. Thanks for the call.
We're calling our caller the wrong name.
He's Mark.
Yeah, I'm not used to talking to myself. Maybe it's a time traveler. Maybe that's me from the future. I came back and decided to call the show.
Stay away from broadcast holding your super-duper cell phone.
All righty. Last bit of sad news I want to bring up. Sad news. James MacArthur.
Who's tuning into my...
Dano.
Who played Dano in the original version of Hawaii Five-0, which aired from 1968 to 1980, believe it or not, died in Florida of natural causes last Thursday. MacArthur quit the role after a year before the show's final season, and he was asked about it, and he said, quite frankly, I grew bored. The stories became more bland and predictable and presented less and less challenge to me as an actor. So that's kind of interesting that after all those years,
he spent all that time booking people, and they didn't really expand his role any. So,
but he decides to quit 1 year before the show gets canceled.
He didn't know it was going to get canceled.
Maybe he did. That's why he jumped the ship.
You don't jump ship the year before it gets canceled if you want to do something. My God.
So he was 72. So that's
good. Wow. Good run.
Yeah, just a fast mention. I don't usually get to see the new Hawaii Five-0, but I did this Monday, and they had a little placard in memoriam to him up. And so just thought I'd mention it.
Oh, nice.
There
nice.
You have it. So,
the original Hawaii Five-0, though, was a really interesting series in that it was sort of like, in a way, it was almost like X-Files without any supernatural elements involved, global conspiracies. And secret organizations that, once you learned what they were, you disappeared. And mad scientists who were frankly modeled after the insidious Dr. Fu Manchu. His name was Wofat. Really, you got the idea from a lot of the episodes that the 5-0 team was it was them against the darkness in a major way.
I didn't even know that either. I thought it was just some cops running around Hawaii.
I remember there was a wild episode, and again, Tom would remember, where Wofat captures McGarren and is trying to brainwash him, puts him in this tub of water. And
isolation tank
and completely closes off all his senses and leaves him there just suspended. And I don't know how many hours he spent in there, like 20 so on, before he started going a little crazy.
Yeah, the brain turns into oatmeal under those circumstances. No information is coming in, so it starts making up its own just to survive. And it's intensely malleable, like when it's in that condition. The same way, it's the same principle as how a person can be intensely malleable when they're put into a hypnotic trance, but even more so.
It was very, very way ahead of its time for that time period. Okay.
So we are ready for our first break. We'll be right back. We came from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
We have just discovered an important note from space. The Martians plan to throw a dance for all the human race.
The Martians on the floor dancing inside.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with King from the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Charlie Saladino, Herman Snurcia, and Hassan Godwin. Herman, yes, you had a question for Don there?
What year was that song?
We are doing the research, and we found the answer.
I have to get back to you on that, but just as a little bit of trivia, it's only two people doing it. They're both cousins, and they're called the Randells.
It's very good.
Those crazy Randells. Test, test. There we go.
Yeah.
You want to?
Oh,
we missed your
there
line.
There I am. Those
kooky
Randells. That's all right. Nobody laughed. I'm not repeating that.
It wasn't. It's not worth repeating. Okay.
No.
What's the discussion?
Yes.
What shall we discuss?
Oh, well,
I saw the trail of the Skyline.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say, but it's a knockoff of Transformers and Independence Day.
Okay.
Think about it, Mark.
In the formers.
I'm trying to think about that, actually.
Former
whatever.
Days.
I saw it 10 times, this trailer.
It's an alien invasion movie. Trans, I mean, what do you expect?
Transpended.
it's an alien invasion movie. That's pretty much what you're going to get.
Every alien invasion
alien shows
movie.
Up, pretty, yeah. They attack,
kills
and
a whole
that's
bunch
it.
Of people, and either we beat them or we don't. It's one of those, like, crappy endings where we all, like, just
join forces and go, yay.
Yeah.
Or, we could have beat them, but we didn't.
We're all slaves now.
Do you ever notice how in all these movies, whenever they, in the beginning, they're always like, let's throw out the nukes. You know it's not going to work.
Yeah, the nukes never work. Nukes never work, and until Independence Day, planes never worked.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Independence Day was the first time that the jets worked. What's his name? Devlin and Emmerich. They love jets because even jets worked on Godzilla. And you know the Japanese Air Force has suffered unprecedented losses.
Tell King Kong about it.
Exactly. Well, King Kong got taken out by biplanes. King Kong is, you know,
he never claimed to be
bulletproof.
I'm just a monkey. You know?
Yeah, I'm just
a big monkey.
Yeah,
76 taken out by helicopter.
He doesn't have a radioactive fire or, you know, solar panels on his back like or anything like
solar
that.
Solar panel?
Well, he had those fins on his back were solar powered, so he used to recharge from the.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
It always glowed.
Of course, he was radioactive, but. It was getting radiation from the sunlight. That's how it worked.
Radiation?
I mispronounced it. Why don't we?
But that was a great. I like that.
Okay, what's next?
I don't want to say the other word. I like that.
Radiation.
That's the next. Next show we're gonna. It's our spinoff show.
Radiation man. Yeah.
Just like the Westinghouse. I'm Westing.
Yeah, I'm Westing. Wow. Okay. Get off that.
How much fun?
So this week. Never mind. Not even know.
Mark, what are we talking about this week?
So this week, I have wanted to talk about the stuff
ever.
At the end of the credits. I don't think we've ever mentioned this on the show before. It's actually a term, and obviously Herman does not want to talk about that, but we will
Herman's
anyway.
He's got more important thoughts on his mind.
They're all trying to get out right now. They're against the door.
That's why they come out all jumbled.
That's them right there. They're knocking.
You actually, did you ever see that stress toy where you squeeze it and everything comes out? Herman looks like that right now.
What would you like to talk about, Herman?
Got to make a point.
This is your big chance. What did you want to mention, Herman?
Remakes that insult classic movies.
We've done that.
No, we didn't do remakes insulting classic movies.
Yes, we did. We've done
shows on remakes. My daughter, last week,
She really aggravated me, my older daughter. She says, I don't like to watch black and white films because I get nervous.
So then...
She gets nervous.
Well, the young generation.
She gets nervous because she lives with you. I know your daughters. They're all normal. Everybody in that family is normal except you. That's why she gets nervous. Because whenever Herman has five copies of a movie and it comes on TV, he has to take all the TVs to make more copies of that same movie. I know those kids are beautiful. Your wife is beautiful. You're insane. Carry on.
Okay, there's okay. The title of the stuff that comes after movies at the end of the credits.
I'm right.
So I just want to know, do you think, and it has actually started to come as a new trend now. It's not as frequent as it used to be. My first experience of it was at the end of Airplane when they had the last final joke. You know, they landed a plane, everything's happy, and at the very end, after the credits have aired, which is kind of funny when you see it on TV, that they actually rush through the credits now, but they still have to play the end joke at the end of the credits.
Right.
So at the end of this one, it was Robert Hayes with a taxi cab. He was Robert Hayes was a taxi cab driver in the movie Airplane when he went to go onto the airplane and do whatever.
Oh, and he was just
and the media and
at
was running.
At the end, they show the guy still waiting in the taxi cab, saying, "All right, I'll give him 5 more minutes."
Right.
So, and then after I saw that, from that point on, I just started watching the credits, everything, just in case there was something at the end. So, I want to know what you guys think about that, the process, and actually having stuff at the end. Because there was the whole Hulk controversy.
Well, you know what I did with
Wait. There was a whole Hulk controversy where it was supposed to have something at the end of the credits, but people got afraid because they were upset about what happened with Iron Man, that people didn't stay to see it, so they actually put it at the end of the movie instead of the end of the credits.
No, you know what I did with what was it? The Matrix Part 2. They had that ending credit.
The trailer.
Well,
the trailer for the third one, yeah.
I moved that trailer, spliced it at the end of the movie, and then the credits started.
See, so that's actually why. What was the reasoning behind that?
That's why people don't save the credits.
But shouldn't they? Isn't that the whole point? Isn't that like a little reward for them after the credits?
What?
Like
throw me a bone?
We should clarify. He means in the movie theater because he's
not at home.
He's a projectionist.
Right.
Not
yeah,
at
I'm
home.
Sorry. I'm
not
sorry.
At home. He cut
yeah.
it off
yeah,
for his friends
mean,
and family.
Who cares if you do that? But I mean,
great.
He's talking about like
the actual
theater, run.
Yeah,
yeah I moved it.
Yeah, so what was the logic behind that? I would think that it's a reward for people who stay at the end of the credits.
Well, the logic he's saying behind that is he's a projectionist. He saw the theater clearing out, and nobody watched
it. I didn't want to jip anybody, and I wanted them to see that's the trail to the third film.
So you think that's a jip, that they actually put stuff at the end of the credits?
Well, years ago in horror and sci-fi movies, they said the end, and that's it. You went home, you know, in the 60s and everything. And even in the original Planet of the Apes, there's a little bit of the cast, and that's it, you know, and you go home. What started these long credits was Star Wars. It started, you know, 3 minutes of credits. It's people don't care who sold apples on the corner.
But what about the people who actually made the movie? They would be interested in seeing their name up there. And sometimes at the end of a movie, you get a good musical a tune on it. And sometimes, like the end of Lethal Weapon 2,
yeah, but if it's a good Mark, if it's a good movie, you'll get all beautiful music throughout the whole film to feature when you watch it.
But it's a little bonus at the end. I mean, when they re-released Star Wars
3,
when they with the
bomb. With the bomb, yeah.
When they re-released Star Wars, the special edition, they actually changed the end music, and it was the regular Star Wars theme. And I appreciated that. And
well, they extended it because there was more of credits for the added footage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the way they combated that was they put squeeze credits in, and then they put the bloopers in. Remember that?
Yes, with
that's
yeah.
funny.
Oh, they did the cannibal run.
Which was a great idea. Yeah. So.
And that's also something that
they do that with a lot of comedies.
They'll
do the bloopers in a lot of the comedies. I wish they would do that with more action films, because it's nice. It's always cool to see the contrast between someone taking themselves really seriously and then cracking up on the set.
Yeah.
You know? So I always appreciate
that's a good idea.
So
you know, during fight scenes where two people are like trying to stab each other, and they're you know,
and when they
and
miss
they're
the knife
off, and they have to fight with rubber knives and laughing at each other. That's
well,
always
the
cool.
Jackie Chan movies. They do that a lot. How they mess up on the stunts and the fight scenes.
Yeah, but that's always about Jackie Chan and how crazy some of those stunts are. And that's every now and then, yes, this guy does get hurt. You know.
Well, what started that was Cannonball Run with Burt Reynolds.
When he did the split, yeah.
You know, that started that.
I was just going to say, in the movie Ants, they did a takeoff on it. They made a deliberate blooper reel with the animatronic characters deliberately doing bloopers and acting like actors, you know, like the big bad guy, Locust, is about to eat someone, and then he trips. He stands up, he's laughing, he's clapping the ant on the shoulders, and boy, okay, I buy the steaks tonight. You know.
Yeah, I actually think it's a nice little bonus for them to put stuff at the end or even during the credits just to make it more enjoyable. And even in on the Naked Gun, the credits were fake credits. They actually had like a recipe for making stuff. Yeah.
Well, that was Hot Shots.
That was
the best credits, Hot Shots.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean,
the credits
I think
say, "Why are you still here? Yeah. Why are you still reading me?"
When he's like, "All right, movie's done, go home." Yeah. You know, stuff like
also
that.
In Gremlins too, they had Daffy Duck kept coming out and taunting the audience because he was like, "Why? Seriously, why are you still sitting here?"
Exactly.
That. That's right. I showed that. You're right.
Yeah, I think the original. Funny credits as part of the movie actually goes to a Monty Python's Flying Circus what was it? Their Holy Grail movie, Grail. Right?
When the cops come, they come and all right, the movie's all over.
Yeah,
let's go.
Well, even in the beginning credits too, where it slowly devolves from being serious credits to being written in a Swiss accent about the guy singing the praises of how his wife Bertha makes der goat cheese and whatever, and he's sacked for someone else, and then they sack that guy for someone else, and finally they wind up with something that's obviously a kiddie company.
Exactly. So I think those things are like little rewards for the viewing audience. And by you, not singling you out, but since you're the one that said you edited the movie,
because people were walking out and they didn't know they were walking out. They
were running out of Matrix 2. That movie was
on the side of the wall.
Yeah, they weren't. They weren't very amused.
I actually gave them a treat. So, you know,
but
boom,
doesn't that go under the things that you know? If you leave, you miss out.
Mark, years ago in the '50s, the reason why they called them trailers.
Really, the '50s was years ago.
Right. Yeah, it was years ago. A lot of years ago. They called them trails for what reason?
It was because it was at the end.
So I actually put the trail where it belongs, right after it says the end on the film.
Right. You remember some movies you say the end and then put the little question mark on the end? You know?
Yeah, the Flash Gordon.
Yes, the Flash Gordon.
They never followed up on
Batman, was it? The 60th Batman, I think they had that when they switched all the bodies of the voices. I think it was the
movie.
End. The movie Batman.
Yeah, I remember in the movie Small Soldiers, which was about toy figures with artificial intelligence. At the very end of the movie, they had on a very nice tribute to one of the actors, whose name I believe was Root, who passed away immediately after the film was made.
That works. I think it's good. I think it always works. It depends. There are some things where you wait 9 minutes after credits and you see a dog kind of just walk across like Pirates of the Caribbean.
It was just a dog sitting on the throne.
That was a waste of time.
Or the Blade, Blade Trinity. At the very end, you just see Blade driving a car. I was like, that was what I waited for?
Yeah,
because
Fast and the Furious did the same thing, the first one, where it's just Vin Diesel driving along a beach. And it doesn't even look like he's in another country. It just looks like after Paul Walker let him go, he's just driving along a beach. So sometimes it's a waste. Yeah. You know, it's not superfluous. It's not important.
Go ahead, Charles.
I've noticed one of the techniques that they often do if they have long credits is they'll do something along with the credits to make it more interesting, like an animation on the side.
Right.
Or in Finding Nemo, they had the fish flying around. Or in the latest version of Journey to the Center of the Earth, which was also done in 3D, they had stalactites coming right toward you and that sort of thing. Or even in the Harry Potter movies, they have a little animation on the sides.
Well, you know why, Tom? Because people they have to amuse people because they know people are not staying for the credits.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, but why do you have to? Why is it important? That would be my question. I understand that you put some stuff after the credits just in case, you know, it's like anybody who's got the fortitude to hang out gets the treat. Anybody who doesn't misses out. That's fine. I don't understand why people – I don't think it's an attitude that people are trying to make you stay for the credits because there's no point.
Let me tell you, when you see a movie and they say it's 95 minutes, okay, without trailers, you're getting gypped with $11 ticket because 3 minutes of that 95-minute movie is credits. Now, why don't I just give people listen, why don't I give people a booklet who made the film and this and that and have 3 more minutes of footage.
A 92-minute film?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
that's a great idea.
Still a bang for my buck, though, if I got 92 minutes out of a film.
No, a little brochure. Who made the film? Why not?
Yeah, here, we like to pass these out as you're going to the theater.
Why not? Why do you think that's a bad idea?
I don't think it's a bad idea. They're I'm not
jipping
reading
the people
it.
Because...
I'm not reading the pamphlet when I go into the movie. I pay this much money. You read the pamphlet for me.
No. When you go home, like you go to a play, they give you a playbill.
There was another Star Wars book that they gave out of The Return of the Jedi when I was 9 years old, which was awesome.
Credits are negotiated by the guilds and unions. That's why we've gone from the point where back with a movie like Frankenstein or Dracula, you'd have like about 30 seconds of credits of just basically listing the producer, director, and the major actors.
Right.
But it got to be a point where it was considered a point of professional pride to be in the credits.
Right.
So all the unions negotiated that, look, if our guy is running your lights, he has to be mentioned in the credits. And that's where it all came from. Also, I think the same thing goes with any music that wasn't written specifically for the film.
Right.
They wanted the music companies didn't want to let it be used unless they got a little bit of traction out of it that would hopefully spur sales. And because keep in mind, and not all movies had official soundtrack albums. Matter of fact, one of the most successful movies of all time, Gone with the Wind, there was no official soundtrack album.
All right,
but there was a series later on called $1 Million Movies that. Yeah,
then how come my credits then on when I run the film? It says Hermson Urcher, the projectionist that ran the film.
Because you're not part of the film.
You can actually run downstairs and go, "Hey, I ran the film."
You can splice it in if you want.
A little cardboard cutout.
I think the way they
projected this.
Projected by me. I think the
Herm was here.
I think the most ingenious thing they ever did was when they started a movie without anything, they would just start the movie. And if you liked the movie, you stood for the credits to see who was what.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and that's the best way to
like
start
Star
a movie.
Wars.
Well, that was that's where it started. Movies where people hung out to see who was in the credits because it was groundbreaking at the time. But credits are important. I just don't know why anybody would want. I don't agree that it's a ploy to keep people.
I'm gonna give you my logic on why I used to say beyond the seeing the little thing at the bottom. It has to go with price. You know, you're paying this much money for it. I'm gonna see it from the beginning of the trailer all the way to the end.
That's my attitude.
That's
but Mark, 3 minutes of black background with white letters is you're getting gypped.
They
should give you a dollar back.
Well, they don't charge you more for longer movies.
No, I'm not saying that, but all that wasted footage, give them a pamphlet. Who made the film? Who was behind the film?
You know how much they would charge for the movies if you had a pamphlet for everybody who bought a ticket?
Look at them.
They give mini posters out.
Think of the merchandising that it would entail. There would be millions and millions of dollars of actual merchandising and paraphernalia.
And it'd be a little collector's item.
And then they would have to get sponsors for the playbill.
But if you did it for every movie, it wouldn't be a collector's item. If you did it for
the people are paying $11, almost $15,
or more.
Right? They ain't getting anything.
Well, hopefully they should stop paying money for it.
What?
They should stop paying the theater if they're getting anything.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you.
If people are still going to go, then people are still going to make movies. And
if
people don't demand quality, then people are going to make crappy movies.
They've still been making crappy movies for the last 10 years.
They've been making crappy movies for a lot longer.
Yeah, they've been making crappy movies since they started making movies.
Because that's part of it. The first guy made a movie, this is terrible.
Look at Ed Wood. Don't tell me that it started 2 years ago.
Pride of Monster.
And he's famous for being bad.
Everything was pristine, and then Transformers came out, it's all bad.
Movies are sucking. This is terrible.
They even, in the news this Sunday, they had a biography page, which they always do, and it was about Plan 9 from Outer Space. And they had a rundown of all the people in it. It was amazing. I kept it.
I have a little complaint about today's movies. The animation, Megamind and all that. This is
animated movies.
Okay. they are substituting comedies with this stuff, and they're passing it off like serious comedy movies, and they're PC movies, and I don't consider them movies. I don't respect them as movies. They're made on a computer, and they're putting a lot of people out of work who build sets, who build, you know, Americans want jobs, and you're taking jobs away from people with these PC. Listen to me with these. PC computer movies and
PC
actors.
Computers?
Actors are getting old.
No,
listen
no.
to me. Actors
let
are.
Go. Let
PC. I'm sorry. PC
let him go.
Movies.
Let him go.
Right.
Personal
listen to
computer?
Me. Yes. I'm right about. There goes my right. and you have these actors that these actors they arrive to the studio in their pajamas and do voiceovers. And it's a cheap shot to the audience.
But using that logic, what about the Lord of the Rings movies, which is not even going to be shot in the United States of America?
We're getting flooded with these animation movies that are playing off series just to get a $15 ticket for 3D. And it's getting out of control. It really is.
Why is that happening, Herman?
I don't know.
Stupid I'll tell
people.
You why. No. I'll tell you why. People are going to see it. There you go. It's selling.
Gotcha.
It's selling.
But I don't consider them movies. I'm sorry to be stupid like
and,
that.
And this is America, you got your opinion.
While you're working, what you should do is when Megamind comes out, because that's one of the ones you're talking about, right?
Well,
you're
right,
working.
Yeah,
you're going to be working.
The latest one. Yeah.
Swap the film out with about an hour and a half of you telling everybody how stupid they are for watching
Let's
this film the first time.
Yeah, and give them a pamphlet beforehand.
Yeah, or just have the black screen and have somebody
trash your
film you coming
Tom,
out walking
Tom,
out.
Do I have a point here?
Yeah, you do.
Tom, you cut in.
Wait, you're trying to get validation.
No, I'm not getting validation because it's getting out of hand. With bogus movies.
Yes, no, maybe. A guy back in the 80s wrote a series of stories about a world where all entertainment was computer generated, and the only reason they needed actors at all was just to use as templates. And however, the templates were paid well for it, so they didn't care.
People went
yeah,
to
Brad
see
Pitt
it.
Brad Pitt got his money for being the superhero in Megamind or whatever
exactly.
The guy's name is.
Super guy.
Yeah.
Super
dude. The thing is, the marketing says that these movies do well because
no,
mother,
it's force
mother
fed
has,
the people.
I know, yeah, but yeah, I'm gonna keep talking. A mother has to go to the movie theater. She's got to take one, if not two or three children, and oh, maybe the father goes too. So that's five people. Even though the kids. Even though kids' money, your kids' tickets are reduced, that's still five people paid to see one movie. And sometimes they'll get repeat business because the kids want to see them again and again. In fact, children's movies, kids' movies, are the only demographic that has guaranteed repeat business.
Yeah, but these animation movies are not geared to kids. They have a lot of adult content.
Warner Brothers wasn't geared to kids. Looney Tunes wasn't geared for kids.
It's multi-layered.
Heavily multi-layered. In fact, only thing that kids could appreciate from the Looney Tunes was violence, was the slapstick violence, because they couldn't get a lot of the jokes. So, I mean, no cartoons really. The Flintstones wasn't made for kids. The Simpsons isn't made for kids. There's a ton of cartoons that are not made. In fact, cartoons that are specifically made for children are despicable. Adults can't sit through them for 5 seconds.
Yes. Yeah, most cartoons that were made during the 20s, 30s, and 40s were designed as shorts to be shown in front of adult movies. And very often, if you know what you're looking for, you see a lot of things that's relevant to things like wartime rationing and so forth within the films, which if you aren't aware of what they are, would sort of slip by you. For one example, I think of is for reasons I forget, Bugs Bunny is flying a bomber plane, and in the corner of the cockpit window is a gas rationing card. You wouldn't know what the heck it was unless you happen to know something about the era.
Let me get back to basics.
Wait a minute.
These PC movies are not movies. They're artificial movies.
What is PC movie?
a politically correct movie.
No,
is that
no,
what he means?
No. Try again.
Oh, computer.
Personal computer.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
I got lost. I'm sorry.
It was personal computer. So you're saying these guys.
When something is sitting. Yeah, these nerdy guys. I'm sorry to be like that. You know, being like.
They're really hurt by your opinion.
No, I don't care. I don't care if they like that. these nerdy guys sit down and by their fingertips is let's put this special effects in. Now you're putting like five people out of work.
Oh, wait a minute. That's two different things, though.
No. There's an artificial facade. They're not even respected to be called movies.
Keep in mind, you might be putting people out of work doing traditional movie jobs like being gaffers and sound men and set builders. But on the other side of the coin is you're putting into work people like programmers and graphic artists and the computer repairmen, the people who make the special computer furniture that you use, the special executives who oversee that sort of thing, and writing jobs and music jobs aren't really touched at all. And while you don't have actors' bodies, you do have their voices, at least at this point.
Yeah.
So what you might be doing is simply exchanging one set of jobs for another set of jobs, and that, unfortunately or otherwise, has been going on through all of history from the very beginning of the Industrial Revolution.
Well, you know what's going to happen?
Yeah, it's going to settle down.
No. What's going to happen is that it's going to come to a turning point that we're going to go back to old school. We're going to go back to basics and make normal looking movies.
Tore down my old school.
Normal looking movies.
Yeah.
What are
come on,
normal
Mark.
Looking movies? I'm asking.
Yeah, what's people
normal?
Acting, what's conversing, normal? people,
well, that never
comedies.
What? People never converse in movies.
You're
anymore?
Right. No. I'm not saying that. But comedies like the Jack Lemmon, Odd Couple, The Out of Towners. Now we have Megamind. That's like a ripoff of Bugs Bunny type situations because it looks like a Bugs Bunny. It looks like the guy likes the Looney Tunes and he did it off like a Looney Tune type concept. Megamind.
That Bugs Bunny. He was some actor.
I'm not saying that, Joel. It's drifting into no heart no more.
Right. But you do have people making those movies. They're my friends, the independent movie people, because they have no money to go into the PCs. They have no, so they're using their brains. They're using their talent. Have that. So if you feel that way, support your independent film networks and all that stuff.
I could go on too.
So what you should
do is you should take independent movies.
Yeah. What you should do as a projectionist, since you've already edited
talking
movies,
you can put
trailers of other movies you want
to
see and stick them at the end of the film, and that way you'll support the people.
Support your local independent filmmaker.
And again, Herman, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, I know. If you feel this way,
you go the other route.
But these things, I'm going to call them things, right? are not respected to be called movies.
But what is the definition of a movie?
They're binary codes. They're binary codes. They're not even film. And this and that. And it's
facade. It looks
pretty
nice with binary codes. So ones and zeros, that's a really pretty one and zero.
It doesn't cook with me. I'm telling you. I don't buy it.
So you don't like the CGI film?
I like CGI effects when they mix with live action, when Weta does it. Weta's a good company because they go old school and they mix it up with the editing. You know, they have animatronics and they go right to the CGI. Then they have animatronics. You know, they copied off the Jurassic Park. But these PC animation 3D looking movies, they're not even movies. They aggravate me. They're not movies. They aggravate. I don't even buy them. I pass them right. I don't respect them because nobody's drawing no more. You guys are artists. You should really. People used to draw storyboards. Mm-hmm. Now the computer does all the work for it.
And you just
Synergia
said the key
smash,
thing.
CGI
you just
movie.
Said the key word. You don't buy them. You don't. And this is why it's America. If you don't like them, don't buy them. If you want
people
that,
take these serious like they're like a slice of heaven. I think they all look they're ridiculous looking.
I think people like them because they're entertained, and that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I could put a dot on a wall and film, and people be entertained. That's how stupid people are today.
Okay, only from the... I didn't say that, folks.
Yes, Charlie does not agree with that point.
You send your hate mail.
I was agreeing with Herman up until that point about the bot thing.
I don't care. People are very stupid today.
Isn't that
they're
your
very
line
gullible. They're very naive.
I used to think that, and then Herman just realized, he's so to the right of where I am. I can't really.
You can't.
I'm almost all the way left now. I love people. I love movies. I love people and lollipops and
lollipops. Sunday.
Yeah, I said lollipop.
Okay. Bright yellow ribbons.
Yeah,
exactly.
These are a few of my favorite.
Keep my sense that we keep
when
on
the
throwing
PC
it.
Bites. When the, yeah.
You think you're gonna watch Megamind 10 years from now? No.
Since we keep on going back to Bugs Bunny, I'm trying to hit this point that if everybody remembers, that there was a Bugs Bunny cartoon with the gremlin, and he wound up testing the bombs, and he had to hit the bomb, and it died.
I never got that until I was 10 years old. Like, wait a minute.
Dud.
If just one of those goes off, we have no more Bugs Bunny.
But that was hand-drawn.
Odd.
But even
why would anybody give anybody that job? That job stinks. That was years ago, though. I was 10.
That's a terrible job.
It was hand-drawn.
Bomb tester.
Yeah.
Bomb tester.
Next week, I'm going to talk about zombie films.
Are we? Next week, we have a guest, so it's going to be kind of hard to do.
I like to test nukes, personally.
Yes, let's remember that. Next week, Rob Longo is going to be here with the Vixens. So.
Yes, Vixens of Vice, Vixens of Virtue, yes. And Vixens of Vice, Vixens of Virtue.com. They're going to be here, so that's awesome. Yeah. We got 2 minutes left, so we're going to do about final thoughts. Herman, you get to go first with your final thought.
PC. Personal computers are not movies.
They're computers.
They're not movies.
Okay. Charlie, you want to do your little plug there?
I'll be at Margaret and Christine's in Smithtown for book signings. Bring your books. I'll sign them.
That's old, man. It was last
week. You
want
to do the plug? You can do the plug.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Halloween, very quickly. A friend of mine, Liliana, made these theme cakes. They were excellent. And if you guys ever need one, it's called Lily Cakes, and she's at... 455-4339.
Yes,
all right.
It is, yes.
Yeah, and it's incredible. She makes amazing cakes, and she's a pastry chef. And just do it. Thank you.
All right, Herman. Hassan.
My final thought is to wait until Herman says whatever he's gonna say, and then just be the opposite.
So my final thought.
So like point and counterpoint.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. That's great. I just have to wait. That's my final thought.
So like I said, my final thought is that we have the guest next week. If you miss any part of the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromtheradio.com. You can listen to the archives. It'll be up within the week. And if you want to send us an email, you can email us at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And on our Facebook page, all the news items that we have on the show will be actually posted on there, so you can make your comments on it. And we will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.